We continue the Shia Gemara. To recap a little, we're in the middle of a topic. The Gemara said last that when Mashiach comes, for one of two reasons, either of two reasons, because the Goyim will attempt to take over then, or at least try to be as great as the Jews at that time, and of course they will fail. They will fail miserably. They'll be rejected completely by Hashem. That day will be a very special day. That day will be the first time, only time, until then, that kaviyachol, to use the expression if we could, that there will be a smile in heaven. Hashem will laugh at them. Gemara says it's the only time in history that we find an actual smile, laughter, happiness in heaven. Because until then, as long as there is golus, as long as there is exile for the Jews, there is also exile for the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem. There is no happiness in heaven. Now, to continue on that, the Gemara asks, to refute this statement, seemingly, we have learned another statement, where the Gemara tells us that the day, every day, is divided into 12 hours. And these 12 hours are divided into four parts. Four sections. What does Hashem do during these four times, separate times of the day? The Gemara answers the first quarter, first 3 hours of the day. When we say 12 hours, of course, it means that the day could be 12 hours long, intermediate day, or in the winter time when the day is 6 hours long, still considered 12 hours, just that each hour consists of an hour or 30 minutes. Or in the summertime, the long days, when the day is 18 hours long, it is still 12 hours, each hour consisting of 90 minutes. But we always call the day a 12-hour day. So in this 12-hour period, dividing it into four parts, each part consists of 3 hours, whatever number of minutes they are. Always in this quarter, the first quarter of the day, what does Hashem kaviyachol occupy himself? The Gemara answers, this is kaviyachol, the time or study period. Hashem studies the Torah, learns the Torah during the first 3 hours of the day. Second 3 hours are the hours of judgment, the judgment period. It's sort of a miniature day of judgment, miniature Rosh Hashanah. Every day this takes place, for 3 hours, the second quarter of the day, Hashem sits in judgment. He judges the world. Judge the world means there is din, there is harshness. Hashem finds that the world cannot exist if he uses din or harshness against them. Therefore, the Gemara says that Hashem decides to change from a judgment of harshness. He goes off, he descends from the throne of Din and ascends the throne of Rachamim, Chesed, of kindness and pity, because then the world will be able to continue to exist. This is the second quarter of the day, every day the same. Before we go to the third quarter, first, we must explain the second quarter, because the question automatically arises, and a very pointed question. If Hashem sees that the world cannot exist under such conditions of judging them according to the laws of the Torah, they would all be found guilty, the world would have to be punished, Chas v'Shalom, wiped out, and therefore Hashem sees that he must judge the world in a sense of chesed, nerachman, and kindness. How come that this is done every day? Yesterday Hashem saw the world cannot go through din. Why today does Hashem again begin with din, with judgment, and then switch to the throne of mercy? And why tomorrow the same thing, and the next day the same thing? Truly Hashem has seen already what the case is, so why should Hashem repeatedly go from the throne of din to mercy? Why not start with the throne of mercy? The answer is, that Hashem judges first the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are those who live according to the letter of the law. They refuse to accept favors even from heaven. They don't want any excuses. They don't look for a way out. They don't look to alleviate the rules, to ease the restrictions of the Torah. They want to follow the Torah according to the letter of the law and to lay their lives down on the line for the sake of the Torah. So these tzaddikim, Hashem deals with according to din. But those who are not tzaddikim, those who do not live according to the letter of the law, of course, if they were to be judged harshly, they would stand no chance. So then, in order to judge the rest of the people, the vast majority, and then Hashem switches to the throne of mercy to deal with the rest of the world. And this we find in the very beginning. This was stated many times previously. Hashem created the world too, Bereshis, Bara, Elokim. In the very beginning, Hashem created. We know that Hashem has two names, basically, Hashem and Elokim. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is Chesed, kindness. Elokim means din, judgment, harshness. So it says, Bereshis Bara Elokim, in the beginning, Hashem created the world, Elokim, with din, with harshness. That's one sentence, the very beginning. In the later chapter, we find where the same wording is repeated. It says, in the day that Hashem Elokim, beyond Bara Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim created the heavens and the earth. Here we find Hashem Elokim, not just Elokim. This is not a contradiction. You know, our answer is because what this means is that Hashem had originally intended to create the world with din, Bereshis in the beginning, Bereshis Chachma, Machshava. The thought, the plan of Hashem was originally to create the world with din, which means that let the Torah guide the earth, let the Torah rule over the earth. The Torah says, obey me, you will live, you'll be rewarded. Disobey, there is a death penalty. This is what Hashem wanted, let the world live according to this rule of the Torah. But then Hashem saw that the vast majority of people could not live up to this rule, so Hashem decided then, Yomra Hashem Elokim, that Hashem will create the world with a combination of chesed and din, kindness and judgment. But first kindness, because the majority will need this kindness, will need this power of tshuva, of repentance, the power of atonement, of forgiveness, and also din for the sake of those few, the very few tzaddikim who could take it. So we understand then what's meant by Bereshis Bara Elokim. The beginning, for the few, for the very few tzaddikim, there is Elokim din. And that's why this answers the question that daily there is the same procedure that takes place. Hashem first sits on the throne of din, it's for those few tzaddikim, and then he moves to the throne of mercy for the sake of the rest of the world. Now this too will answer the connection Rabbein Azal brings, that there is a connection between the beginning of the Torah and the end of the Torah. The Torah starts with the words Bereshis Bara Elokim. At the end of the Torah, last words Ali Eine Kol Yisrael. The first letters, of course, are Lamed Beis. The first letter and the last letter of the Torah, together Lamed Beis, stands for the 32 basic rules of Chachma, of wisdom. It also stands for the word heart, Lev, which is the most important central functioning organ of the body, of the soul, of the thought plans of a person. More so, the Baal says that we must tie in beginning and end of the Torah, because the Torah is a cycle. It is a never-ending cycle. There is no end to it. It's infinite. And that's why when we finish reading the Torah, on Simchas Torah, we finish the last words, Le'eni Kol Yisrael, we immediately read the beginning of the Torah again, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Benedel says that this can be taken in two ways. Bereshis is the word Rosh Bayis, the head of the world, which means the tzaddik. The Eine Kol Yisrael, Rosh Chayes to Tzaddik, Amy Kleisra, the eyes of all the Jews are enlightened, they are lit up with wisdom through the Tzaddik. But also, there is an interpretation bringing it back. The Enei Kol Yisrael, Rishis. Enei Kol Yisrael, the Gemara says, the Enei Ha'edo, the eyes of the Jews. Who are the eyes of the Jews? The leaders, the Tzaddikim. These Enei Kol Yisrael, these eyes of the Jews, for these Tzaddikim, Enei Kol Yisrael, Rishis Barley Kim. For them, there is first Kim, boom, judgment. These tzaddikim, first there is judgment. The rest of the world, then there is chesed, then there is a throne of mercy. That's how the Torah is tied, beginning and end, end and beginning. As we said here, the Enei Kol Yisrael, for these eyes, the eyes means the wisdom, the leaders, the tzaddikim, there is din, first. Then, subsequently, every day, during the second period of the day, there is chesed, kindness for the rest of the Jews. This is the second quarter of the day. Third quarter of the day, it's the third 3 hours of the day, Hashem then allots, doles out, distributes the necessary provisions of food for the entire world. Hashem provides nourishment for every single living thing on earth, whether it is a human being, whether it is an animal, whether it is a living being of tremendous size, the largest living being on earth, largest living thing on earth, or whether it is the tiniest bit, tiniest germ, a microscopic germ, a little worm too, tiny little worms Hashem cares for. He provides them with food. None of those die of starvation. Every day there is food provided for every living thing on earth by Hashem with individual care, Hashkocha Prati, so that we know that Hashem sees all and does all himself. This is called Hashkocha Prati. There's no such thing as Hashem being too far above anything which is small. Tiniest being on earth is watched over by Hashem personally. Hashem himself, the Chvede V'Yatzma, in all his glory, watches over the tiniest worm and sees that this worm has what to eat for that day. All this is taken up by Hashem, provided for during the third quarter of the day. The fourth, the last quarter of the day, the Gemara says again, Kaviyachal. Kaviyachal means that we use a term which we cannot take literally, but we are forced to use it because of lack of any other words that can fit this description amply. Kaviyachal, the fourth quarter, Hashem then enjoys himself with the Levyasan. Levyasan is that special giant-sized fish, a whale-like fish, which Hashem created and which he saves for the future. On this meal, this fish will be a meal for tzaddikim in the future when Mashiach comes. The victory feast for tzaddikim after Mashiach comes, the Jews will return to their proper place as the leading nation on earth, as the chosen people forever afterwards. There'll be this special feast of the future with this Levyasan. There are different interpretations of what Levyasan is, because if it speaks about the future, we cannot really use this literally as eating food. Just as in heaven in Gan Eden, there is no such thing as food. When we say eat there, we mean eat means in a sense spiritual food. A person that eats Mishnayos, he eats Gemara, he drinks a chapter of Tehillim, as Rabbein Adol says. So Levyasan, some say, means Levyasan, like the word Levi means to combine. When they will be combined, after Tchias HaMeis, they will be combined again, the body and the soul. That time, they said, Lavai, there will be the special feast, spiritual feast, but this feast has been prepared by Hashem before. So Hashem enjoys, laughs with this Levyasan. This is done daily in anticipation of the time when finally this will take place. However, what we see from this statement is that there is such thing as laughter, smile, or enjoyment on the part of Hashem even before that final date. What does the Gemara say? Only then, the first time, will there be laughter and joy in heaven. It seems to contradict that statement. The answer is, the Gemara answers this to say that when we say Hashem will laugh then for the first time, it means he will laugh at, cynically, laugh at these goyim, these anti-Semites, these enemies of heaven, this Amalek against whom there is this constant battle in heaven. Hashem will then laugh at their downfall, because until then, Hashem does not enjoy any type of downfall, any type of destruction, even of the enemies of heaven. Because only when the time is right for the complete destruction of these enemies, then there is enjoyment. Hashem does not enjoy the death or destruction even of a wicked person, unless he has fulfilled his degree, the measure of evil, and been to such a point where he is ready to receive his ultimate punishment. And that ultimate punishment for the entire world, for all the evil in the world, will not be ready until Mashiach comes. And therefore, only then will Hashem laugh at the downfall of these goyim. But to laugh with, to enjoy himself with the Nevi Yasson, that's not laughing at. That is done every day. This is the Gemara differentiate between these two statements. The Gemara says, now, by the way, to continue this, you've just given us a timetable for days. This is what Hashem does by day, but there are also 12 hours for the nights. What happens during those 12 hours of the night? There is no sleep in heaven, Chas V'Shalom. So what is the occupation of Hashem during the nights? The Gemara answers, there are two possible answers. One, that the night is divided exactly into the same four parts as the day. Hashem does the same thing at night as he does by day. In other words, during the first 3 hours of the night, the first quarter of the night, there is a study of Torah. The second quarter of the night, there is judgment. The third quarter, there is again preparation of food, which means then that Hashem prepares at night for the food that is necessary for the day. And by day, prepares the food necessary for the night. And the fourth quarter, again with the Nevi Yasson. The Gemara says there's another statement, theory, opinion of what takes place during the night. During the night, use the words of the Gemara, Hashem is Rechev al Kruv Kal. Hashem rides, Kaviyachal, he rides on a Kruv Kal. Kal means a light, very light weight. Kruv is an angel. You have the Kruvim in the Holy of Holies, you have the two Kruvim, the angels, with the holy ark in between them. So on this light-weighted angel, Hashem soars through the worlds, through 18,000 worlds. Hashem flies through these worlds aboard this light angel. Of course, naturally, would be sacrilegious to take this item physically, as is shown. It would be definite atheism, because we can never attribute a physical term about Hashem. This statement is a rare statement in the Gemara, because this is a type of statement that's found in the Sifrei Kabbalah, Zohar Kodesh, other Sifrei Kabbalah. But the Gemara shows us, too, just a hint. As the Zohar Kodesh says, do not think that the Gemara doesn't know about Kabbalah, because the Gemara itself has heavenly secrets in every word that is written, but they are well hidden. Very rarely the Gemara comes out with one of these secrets in a more open expression. The Gemara says that the word 18,000 we learn from a pasuk in Tillim. Rechev Elokim, the chariot of Hashem, is Ribei Sayim Alfei Shinon. Levi Sion is 20,000, Alfei Shinon, 2,000 Shinon, Shinon means She'enon, 2,000 that are not there, subtract 2,000 and 20,000, you have 18,000. But the Pasuk in Tehillim has to tell us how many worlds? 20,000, but first subtract 2,000, you can't say 18,000 straight. We see again that there is a lot of secrets involved here. First place, the Zohar Kodesh says, we cannot touch, dent the surface here at all, but just at least to point out certain items as likely as possible, as likely as this cowl. The fact that here we deal with, the Zohar Kodesh, we deal with the names of Hashem. The names of Hashem, as in fact the entire Torah consists of the names of Hashem. As we take the Torah itself, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Esa, Shemayim, V'yes, Haaretz, and so on, every single word of the Torah, without fail, without exception, is Hashem's name in different forms, every word. The word Bereishis, of course, he mentioned many times, the different forms of the Zohar Kodesh, the Kodesh that I speak about. Here we have the word Hashem, Rechev al of kal, Rechev, not the al kruv kal, Rechev al kruv kal, not the word Rechev and kruv are the same words. Rechev is the same letters as kruv. Rides on this kruv. So we see that riding on this angel means there is a connection between riding and this angel itself. The name, of course, of Hashem is included here in different forms. The word kruv, it is divided into two parts. Kruv has the letters Chof Vav, 26, which is Hashem's name, and Reish Beis is the combination of the Yichud of Hashem. In other words, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, which is Yud-Kei, Bot-Kei. Again, we take the first letters Chof Vav, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that is combines into two combinations of Kaviyachal Hashem and the Shekhinah, the upper Shekhinah and the lower Shekhinah. Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem. The upper Shekhinah is Elokim. That's 26 and 86 is 112, and then the lower Shekhinah. It's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Hashem 26 Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 91. Together, 112 and 91 is 202, that's today's base. The word Kruv, this angel really means Chof Vav, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which comes out to, divided into two parts, is Yud Kei and Vav Kei with the Shekhinah. We thereby have the word Kruv, this combination. Also, of course, the word kruv covers the different partsufim, which means the length, the depth of the sefidos. The word kruv, four letters, the chuf is the top sefida of keser, the reish is the sefida next to it, reish is neshis chachma, the beis is bina, the vav, the six spheres of the Enam. So we have all these spheres there. If we should take these spheres of Chachma and Bina as including Das, you then have 10 spheres. Otherwise, you have, this brings about to the formation of the Malchus, the last sphere, the Yichud, because we have this writing on this Kruv Kal, 18,000 Elamos, this 18 we know is always deals with the Tzaddik, who is called Tzaddik Chai Amen. The Tzaddik Yisoid, Sfida of Yisoid, this Sfida of Yisoid itself, which represent by the Tzaddik is the one that brings together Kaviyacho of this Yichud, this combination of Hashem and the Shekhinah. Yesod brings these two together. So the Tzaddik is called Chai Amen. These 18,000 worlds, Kaviyachal, means the Sfida Yesod. which is represented by the entire word Kruv. The Tzaddik is called Bracha Yisladesh Tzaddik. The word Kruv is the word Baruch. The letters of the word Baruch is found in here. So Rechev al Kruv Kal, and of course Kal Kuf Lamed, again is Hashem, Yud Ke Vav Ke Beribua. Going back, Yud Ke Vav Ke is 130, that's Kal. It's the Shem Mo Beribua. For those who understand that, and he's going back, Yud, and then Yud Ke Vav Ke, together, that forms the Shem Mo Beribua, which is 130, which is Kal. These combinations then all serve one purpose. They serve the purpose of Yichud to rescue, at least temporarily, rescue the Shekhinah of Hashem and Golas. Note that we have the nine Sfidais, the Malchus is missing. It's the dark of the night, the Golas. Purpose here is Kaviyachol, the search for the Shekhinah. As Rabbeinu Zal tells us in the first one of the Sepulim Maisias, the Lost Princess, the Golden Mountain, where the search is made to bring back this lost princess or the Shekhinah, the Malchus, and this is what takes place during the night until the Shekhinah eventually is found, brought together, and the name of Hashem is again complete. We just touched upon this very, very lightly. What we have said has not dented the surface at all, but at least it's to show that the Gemara is not words spoken in a light vein, but in very much depth. Many times it's already called the show, so every word of the Gemara has these deep secrets. And with this, the Gemara we have answered as to what happens during the night. And Agav, by the way, just when we speak about these 18,000 worlds, worlds, of course, represents the human being. Gemara says that a human being is a world. That's why when Cain killed Hevel, Hashem said to Cain, you have destroyed a whole world. Because from Adam came forth the whole world, so one who kills a person has killed not one person, but an entire world that could come from that person. One who saves the life of a person has saved the whole world. So here, the Gemara says that in heaven, in the heavenly yeshiva, when a shiur is given, a lesson in Torah is given by Hashem, there are these special students, these very special ones. The first 18 rows are those of the leading tzaddikim. These are called the 18 rows of Dora Kama. Front row before Hashem, these 18 rows of tzaddikim, and therefore this is what's represented by these 18,000 worlds, which means that always there is this direct contact between Hashem and tzaddikim. That is why it is impossible to separate between the two. A person must have emunah in Hashem and in tzaddikim. You can never separate these two, then the emunah is worthless. We must strengthen ourselves always in the Emunah and Tzaddikim Vitiyim, especially in the Tzaddik Emes, who is the Sfida of Yisoid, Tzaddik Yisoid Elam. Tzaddik Yisoid, that Yisoid, Elam means the Malchus, who brings together the Malchus with Hashem. The Gemara says now, as far as the study of Torah is concerned, that one who studies Torah at night time, during the night, when it's most conducive for learning, conducive time for learning is at night. Benel says the time for study of Gemara especially is at night. Gemara says that one studies Torah at night, then he is rewarded that by day, Hashem himself draws a line of kindness over that person, above that person. So there is, the person walks around all day with this thread of kindness hovering over him, a heavenly thread that sort of protects him and is benign, treats him benignly throughout the day. So great is the reward for studying Torah at night. In fact, there is a saying, as the Gemara in Eder, which says that what is the reason why the night was created? Why wasn't there just day? Why wasn't there continuous day or light What's the necessity for night? Gemara says, well, there's two reasons for it. Ayivri Laila Elo, that was created only for the sake of study of Torah. And the Gemara says that was created only for the sake of sleeping. That's two radically different answers. For the sake of Torah, for the sake of sleeping. Why these two different answers? The answer is that the night is really called, as the Benazoth's followers called the winter nights, for example, the long nights, they call them the golden nights. These are the golden nights, the treasures, because at night is when the heavenly yeshiva is in its full power. At night, the chatzais, at midnight, that's when Hashem assembles all the great tzaddikim together in the heavenly yeshiva, and anybody who is up at that time and says tikkun chatzais, who mourns the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, says the special prayer, tikkun chatzais, his neshama unites with those souls in heaven and attends this heavenly yeshiva. So precious is the night. And one who studies Torah at night, again we have this reward of this thread of chesed. That was the entire work of David HaMelech, who spent his night in tefillah and Torah. Now therefore the meaning simply is, taken in a lighter vein of course, the night was created for what? It was created for the study of Torah, of course. What's meant by created for the sake of sleep? Well, if everyone would be awake at night, how could people study Torah? They have so much interference. So therefore, sleep was created for those who bother, who intervene, who interfere, for those who are lazy, too lazy to study Torah, and those who are out to make trouble, those who are meddlesome, to see that they do not interfere with those who study Torah, sleep was created. So the Rishonim, the evil ones, lazy ones, go to sleep at night, so that the good ones can sit and learn Torah without interference. Of course, there is the blessed nights when study of Torah is so precious, and the tefillahs are so invaluable. When a tikkun chatzos is one, that a person can actually become united with the greatest of all tzaddikim in Gan Eden in heaven. The Gemara says another point, what this statement means too, when we say night and day, we refer to darkness and light. So symbolic of this world is very, very dark. Light. Dark. Very dark world. As we know, the world is becoming darker and darker. And in every respect, there is very little light, there's very little happiness, very little hope. Things are constantly taking turns for the worse. No matter what happens, there's always, each generation is worse than the previous one. Always times are worse. Because people will always tell you, it's not like the good old days. Days before, oh, now, how are things now? Oh, bad. Not like it used to be. Good old days at times were so much better. Or the good generations back when things were so much purer. There were such great leaders then. We don't have the tzaddikim today we had in the olden days. In those olden days, the good olden days. So today we might have more inventions. We also have more means of destruction. We also have much more crime, much, much more evil. The olden days, there was a drop of evil that was historic. Today, it's normal. Today, if there's a drop of good, it's so outstanding that we are amazed to see something good that happened. And this, of course, is very rare that we see it. Then we have new leaders rise up in new elections, always, always worse than the former ones. We figure change the leaders because we might get something better. Always it is a change for the worse because the world is constantly descending into an abyss, a pit of darkness. So therefore this world is compared to the night. Future world, Olam Haba, Gan Eden, is compared to day. Day, the light, the happiness, the brightness, that's called a day. So when the Gemara says that if a person learns Torah at night, Hashem will draw a thread, a line of chesed, of kindness over him by day. This means a person who spends his time in this life, throwing his time in this world, in the study of Torah, He occupies himself with Torah rather than with foolishness, rather than with wasting his words on foolish items. That person Hashem will reward with this line, this thread of chesed, of kindness in Olam Haba. Kindness, again, we come to, Rabbeinu Zal says this, the name of Hashem, the highest, greatest name of Hashem, its highest form is called Hashem Ayin Beis, 72, which is Begimatria Chesed, kindness. And this Hashem Ayin Beis, again, is the Hashem in its highest form, Yud Kei Vav Kei, again going back, Yud in its old form, Yud, Yud Kei, Yud Kei Vav, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Begimatria 72. The Miloy of Hashem, the Miloy of Hashem with Yudin, Yud, Kei, which is spelled Kei Yud, Vav, Vav Yud Vav, and Kei, that really is the highest Miloy with the highest numbers possible, the Yud, that's Begimatria 72. We note that as we do that, we say Yud first, Yud Kei second, Yud Kei Vav third, Yud Kei Vav Kei fourth. The first time we have one word, the second time we have two, and three and four. This is what's called Poshut Kafel Shilush Ribua. First a single, and then a double, a triple, and a quadruple, which of course is the letters Kashefor. Horeim Kashefor Kailacha. The word Kashefor is Kafel Shilush Ribua, Poshut Ribua. These four that Rabbeinu Zal says refer to the string of kindness, means a special harp and music, Kaviyachli, heavenly music in Olam Haba, played on this harp of Chesed, 72, the name of Hashem is 72, is kindness, which is the reward of a person who studies Torah during his life here. So great a treasure is this, and so careful a person should be not to waste his time on earth. You have the opportunity of studying Torah here and know what you're going to get for it. Don't waste your time with this darkness. And therefore, the Gemara concludes with this statement. In reference to this topic, the Gemara says that a person who selects between the study of Torah and talking, gossiping, speaking words of batola, even if it's not necessarily slander, evil, just playing the words of worthlessness, wasting time, the person who does that, there are different sections in Gehenna. Gehenna means the place in heaven where a soul is punished for his sins. We generally call Gehenna a place where the fires of Gehenna burn. There is also the Gehenna of ice. A person, Chas Hashem, the Shem is placed there, the torture of ice could be as bad as the torture of fire, or worse. One on one. But the different sections of Gehenna are made for different types of sins. There are different layers, different levels of Gehenna. Gemara says that for a person, this much is revealed, a person who stops the study of Torah and participates in wasting time, words of no value whatsoever, prefers that over Torah, his penalty is that he is given a meal of burning coals, Chas V'Shalom, placed in his mouth. This, therefore, is a message. You have a choice. Either this meal of burning coals, Chas V'Shalom, or the special harp of kindness of this great light in Gan Eden, which is the reward for the study of Torah. And he who is wise, of course, will make the proper selection. Yizecher, to spend his life in the study of Torah. The Gemara says that we find the pasuk in the Navi which compares humans to the fish of the sea. We find also the same comparison is made by Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was being sought after by the Roman government, they had issued a decree that no one is permitted to teach Torah. Rabbi Akiva assembled his students and taught them Torah, despite this decree. Eventually he was caught by the Romans, he was put to death by torture. At the time he was teaching, one of his antagonists as far as related to the unmentionable, asked her, why do you take this risk? Isn't that foolish, take the risk of teaching Torah, when you know that there is a death penalty for it by the Romans? Rabbi Akiva said to him, you are a fool, because you're like the wise fox who comes and says to the fish at the sea, why do you stay in the sea? The waters, isn't it dangerous? The fishermen throw their nets, they cast the nets, you'll be caught. Why don't you come out and live with me, the wise fox said. I'll take good care of you on land. And the fish replied to the fox and said, you are the fox, the wisest of animals. You are the most stupid. Because if in the sea, which is our lifeline, this is our source of life, if here we are in danger, imagine if we go out to the dry land where there is no life for us, then surely what can we gain? There it's a certain death. Imam says, why are people compared to the fish of the sea? Why did Rabbi Akiva give this mushroom's example? Because just as the fish of the sea cannot live without water, should they ascend to the dry land, they will die immediately, so too the waters refer to the waters of Torah, study of Torah. As long as a Jew studies Torah, he can live. His soul is being nourished. But should he leave the study of Torah, this means death for the soul, death for that person. He cannot live. A Jew deserts the study of Torah, he is dead. And of course, the question is asked, look at all these Jews walking around the streets without studying Torah at all, and they're living and breathing and enjoying life. Where do you see dead ones? The answer is, you are looking at living corpses. The Gemara says that a tzaddik never dies. When he closes his eyes, he's buried, he continues to live right on with a better life. A rasha, a wicked person, who does not study Torah, is dead while he walks the street. While he walks around, this is a corpse walking. He is a living corpse. He is called a mace, a dead person during life, because he has left the source of life, which is the Torah Kedusha. So too, it's compared to fish, because just as fish, if they come too close to the surface of the water, under the baking sun, even there they could die. Even though they're right under the surface of the water, the sun's rays could kill the fish. It's dangerous for the fish to have the sun's rays upon them. So too, for the sun's rays affect people. When? In the future, Mashiach comes, the Gemara says, Hashem will then remove the cover, the shade over the sun. The sun has a shade over it. We do not have the sun in its full power today. That shade is removed. The sun will come out with all its power, and the sun has two powers. The sun's rays can cure those who are ill. So tzaddikim will bask in the rays of the sun, will be completely cured and strengthened. The wicked, the Rishoyim, will be consumed by this intense fire of the sun. This we see physically too, because the sun's rays, for example, depending upon the recipient. You have bread, lay the bread in the sun, dough, that is, it becomes baked, becomes worthy of food. You have straw, and it's consumed in fire of the sun's heat. This means that the sun itself is constant. It's the constant, regular heat of the sun. According to that which receives the rays of the sun, then there is difference. From heaven there comes only good. The sun's rays are good. The person below is good. He receives help from it, so they can receive the cure. The Nishon who are evil will then be consumed and destroyed by the sun. And this, of course, refers to, again, those who study Torah. The Torah is one that protects. It makes the person immune. The Gemara says that just as a type of asbestos, a covering against fire, so too is the study of Torah. One who studies Torah is protected against the fires of Gehenna or the heat in the future. The study of Torah is then the key for the salvation of every Jew, the key for a Jew living as a Jew. We should be zecher to undertake the study of Torah with a renewed vigor, a firm of faith in Hashem, the leaders, the teachers of Torah, the tzaddikim and mitiyim,